And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster in the driver's seat, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, July 11th. Today, maybe I've got this wrong. I want to say it's Bastille Day, but maybe that is the 14th of July. Anyway, I think it may be the 14th. It's 2024. Tom Fairbanks, can you imagine? Hey, I thought there were mountains around Tucson. I can't see them. I was just flashing on. Think about somebody that comes into Tucson. I've heard about Tucson. I'm so excited about coming to Tucson. I'm flying into Tucson today. Wow. And they see this kind of dust. Whoa.
And it's dust, not smoke.
It is dust. I mean,
and did you hear where it's coming from?
Yes. It is, this was put out by the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality, issuing a dust action day for particulate matter, air pollution over the Tucson area. A dust storm came from northern Mexico, just south of New Mexico last night, and it's been very slow to clear out. So these areas now ranging from moderate to maximum. So that means there's particulates.
So instead of monsoon rains, they blew a little dust our way.
Yeah, a little dust. Anyway, but there, and some have said, well, maybe it's the smoke from a fire over by Benson. I'm not sure about that because that fire is at about 150 acres. Hope it stays small. Steve Christie joins us now for his monthly visit, District 4, Republican Steve Christie. Normally we have Supervisor Christie, the lone Republican on the five-member Board of Supervisors. Normally he joins us the first Thursday of the month, but last Thursday was the 4th of July, so his visit was delayed by 1 week. How are you, Supervisor?
I'm very well, Bill. It's good to see you again.
So what's going on up in Mount Lemmon with, did they have some rain in June?
They certainly did. They had somewhere between 2 and 3 inches, which was a godsend. So
yes,
it has created a hiatus of putting a stage 2 fire restriction this year. However, we always are very adamant about our folks from the valley and elsewhere that want to visit one of our Sky Island iconic retreats up there, is to be very, very careful about campfires and making sure that they're put to bed and put out properly so we don't have any issues with fire. But they also had their 4th of July parade, the 49th annual 4th
really?
Of July.
Really? 49 years 49th. Of that.
According to my sources, there was a great crowd all along the main street, and it'd be kind of a great thing if people wanted to attend the 50th next year.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some great dignitaries that were judges in a large parade, and it's one of those small, almost like a small town feel, and they have antique cars and floats, and the whole community gets behind it, and it's really a terrific family-oriented event for the community of Summerhaven.
We may get some rain here, and that could be a problem with thunder and lightning up on Mount Lemmon, so I have to be real careful about that.
Correct. And, you know, one of these things, as you bring it up, the fire-prone areas in Pima County, which Summerhaven certainly is one of them, the residents up there have been facing issues with obtaining homeowners insurance.
Right.
As well as being able to deal with higher premiums. And our office has been very proactive and involved in making sure that there's adequate avenues to explore how we can give some relief to the residents, not only of the Mount Lemmon area and the Catalinas area, but there are many fire-prone areas out in Oracle and Aravaca and down in Elephant Head throughout my district and throughout the entire county. And a lot of folks are experiencing this problem that after many years of having flawless coverage and premium payments, now suddenly they're finding that there is a lack of insurance companies that are willing to provide coverage. And those that are providing coverage are
astronomical
finding
rates.
Huge rates. So
yeah,
we were able to have the director of insurance and financial her title is the director of the Department of Insurance and Financial Institutions. The executive director came down and addressed the Board of Supervisors on this issue, and we had a good turnout of HOA members of Mount Lemmon who got to listen to her discussion, and we have her ear. And after her presentation out in the lobby, it was great to see this director of the Department of Insurance and Financial Institutions meeting with residents and discussing back and forth all the problems and the issues. And she was very animated and very active in listening to these things. So we're going to be working with the legislature and our county lobbyist and other entities to try to find some sort of relief and protection for our community members who are in these high-risk areas. And there's a lot more that are in risk than we realize.
Yeah,
and
this is an issue that is nationally is percolating. It started in Florida, now it's California, and areas that are high risk, like Mount Lemmon and the Catalina foothills.
The Catalina foothills.
This is an issue that really needs to be addressed with a lot of attention, because your big insurance providers are saying, we're out. Or if they do stay, they're going to ask for our tremendous rate increases.
Yes, and one of the things our office has been very involved with and supportive of is the FireWise program that communities such as Summerhaven and now all the way down to Green Valley, as well as the Catalina foothills and Casas Adobes and things of that nature, and throughout the White Mountains. And what FireWise does is prepare people with knowledge and tools as to how to protect their properties and help prevent or control fires. And when insurance companies see this kind of activity, and it's a nationwide program, and it's been very successful and well-received in southern Arizona through many communities, as I mentioned, even down in Green Valley, it does have an effect and an impact on insurance companies setting their rates and their premiums and coverage. So we encourage all communities that have any kind of exposure to fires to take up this FireWise program.
I could be wrong about this, but I believe I read that Arizona had the largest increase of homeowners insurance of any state in the country last year.
It could very well be, but I think California is right up there with them. But certainly Arizona is right in that line.
Because you could see this concern creeping down from Mount Lemmon to areas where I live in District 1 in the Catalina foothills. Suddenly, you know, you may get a notice in the mail because of where you live, we're no longer going to provide coverage. We have to be very careful about
that. And just for your knowledge, and you may already know this, in the Catalina foothills, there are two communities that are FireWise certified. So it's taken hold in all these areas, and we encourage any community, any neighborhood, any HOA that feels that they may have some threatening issues with brush fires and wildfires, as well as seeing the impact of such on their their insurance, homeowners insurance coverage, to jump on the bandwagon with FireWise.
And how do we get more information about FireWise?
Well, the most easiest way is to contact our office, which is District4@pima.gov, and we'd be glad to provide the FireWise information.
All right, why don't we take the break here? We're right up against it, have about a minute before the usual break time, but before we change subjects, talk about the new Pima County budget with Steve Christie. Let's take the break here. We'll be back with Supervisor Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Green Thing's ready now for you. And a lot of folks are saying, you know, the heat has just really devastated my garden. Well, the rain is coming. And this would be a good time to go by Green Things and get that summer gardening up to date. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is zocalovillage.com. Some beautiful imported items from Mexico and really all over the world, including the largest selection of Talavera pottery from Mexico in the state of Arizona. All right, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, the lone Republican on the five-member board, joining us now. Steve, representing District Number 4. This is our first visit with you, Supervisor Christie, since the board adopted a $1.7 billion spending plan for the new fiscal year, which we are now into. Overall, some of your thoughts.
Well, the issue, I think, more than anything, is how do you extricate yourself from the lifeline of all the federal money that's been infused in Pima County through various grants and programs from Washington, and that, like any federal program, that the money comes through, where the money is intended to be used and is eventually used, that becomes an institutionalized situation where you have to hire people, where you have to have devoted mission that continues in order for you to be able to qualify for the funds. So what we see is that there are people hired, programs instituted, departments created, and all of that kind of institutionalized what really is designed to be a temporary problem, or excuse me, a temporary issue. And it becomes a problem when that money runs out. And then we find the county administrator trying to pivot and scramble to undo that, knowing the money's going to run out, kind of like, you know, that we have to deal with the COVID spigot. I mean, we had tens of millions of dollars devoted for COVID. Same with asylum seekers. Over $100 million has been dedicated from Washington to Pima County to operate the asylum-seeking business. And now even Administrator Lesher has made it clear that she and the county administration don't want to be in that business anymore, because they can see the writing on the wall that this asylum-seeking process has been a bad process for not only Pima County, but for the country, that it's full of holes as far as any kind of accountability of where migrants are going, where they're ending up. And in the meantime, some just under 500,000 migrants have passed through to the tune of almost $100 million since 2019 to feed, clothe, shelter, medicate, and provide a travel service basically for the migrants. And the thing that I find so troubling and almost laughable is the county administration and the chair of the Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Grijalva, and Catholic Community Services, who've been the recipients of all this money from, not the chair and not Ann, but Catholic Community Services, not Jan, are trying to paint the picture that they've done a wonderful job of assimilating and accommodating the migrants. And as a result, there have been no street releases in Pima County. Well, that may be true. There's no street releases in Pima County, but there are releases in the streets of America somewhere, in some place, in some capacity, because all of the almost 500,000 migrants that pass through end up somewhere else in America in their streets. So my whole premise is we should never, from day one, have taken $1 from the government on asylum seeking. And my feeling that causes me to believe that it's a broke system is not that there's enough money to accommodate the asylum seekers coming in, but that the federal government should be stopping them at the border right now from ever coming in. So it's a very difficult situation to extricate yourself from that money. And $1.7 billion is a huge budget. And my belief that always been that we should take the budget from the pre-COVID days, you know, 2019, adjust it for inflation and call it good.
What about the sheriff's budget? That went up quite a bit, $11 million more than last year.
Mm. Yeah, he's been struggling, and obviously there's a lot of issues as far as overtime pay for deputies as well as corrections officers because of the inability to hire adequate staffing. That's put a strain both financially and physically, mentally, psychologically on the deputies and the corrections officers. So in order to make up for the lack of personnel, you have to ask the existing personnel to work longer, harder hours. Obviously, they get much more pay than they normally would, and that leads to a lot of expense, and that's what the sheriff's having to struggle with. Now, he says that he's up to proper staffing now, but I find it difficult to believe if that's the case, then why now is he somewhere $11 million higher than he was before? But of all the departments, of all the offices, of course, my main goal is public safety, and I have a very difficult time being too critical of the sheriff's department, because they are such an essential part of public safety and basically The mission of the Board of Supervisors is to provide for public safety.
Mm-hmm. There's been some tweaks when people come to speak before you and your colleagues, these minor tweaks mainly.
Yeah, as you know, I'm always had issues with disruption of free speech or suppression of free speech. Some of my colleagues have interrupted speakers, public speakers, call to the public, and I've always been very adamant against that and have made that clear that it's the job of the supervisors to listen and not to interrupt, and that's been breached numerous times. And when that happens, it just infuriates the audience because they're coming down as private citizens mm-hmm. to express their point of view, and they want the ability to say whatever they want to say for that 3 minutes, and then to have a supervisor interrupt them while they're in the middle of their freedom of speech is really troubling, and it inflames people, and they get mad, and understandably so, and they probably say things that maybe under different circumstances they wouldn't have said ordinarily. And of course, this creates the image that my colleagues really are working for, and that's to show how disruptive the folks are, and they're usually Republicans and white people, and this is just playing into the narrative of my colleagues in the Democrat Party. So they look for this creation of these situations and this narrative. But however, recently, Chair Grijalva, she made some minor tweaks about the size of posters that could be displayed and where people should sit and one or two other minor things. But my whole approach with how the chair is operating the call to the public is that she needs to focus on de-escalation of the situation rather than confrontation. She's very confrontational when people say things that she thinks are out of line. And if she continues on that vein, then it just makes matters worse with the speaker and the audience because they feel they have to fight back that much harder to be heard.
Quickly running out of time, your thoughts on where we're going with RTA next. You've spoken out actually on this program a couple of years ago that you had your doubts that we would ever get a program that could go to the voters for another 20 years. You still have some serious doubts?
I still have grave doubts that it will continue with Tucson as a quote-unquote partner in the RTA. And I've said this all along, the city of Tucson is just killing the RTA with a series of paper cuts, and they're finding minuscule items that really have no relation to the overall picture to kind of pick on and point out and then create a portfolio of problems that all really are of very minute issues, and then present them all and say, look at all these problems we have. This is why the RTA is ineffectual and should be disbanded, and that's why we're leaving. And I predict we're in the summer months right now, but I would say as things progress closer to the election and closer to the renewal time for the RTA in order for it to go to its next step, that the city of Tucson will not be there.
Mm-hmm. And you're speaking as someone who has quite a bit of experience with the transportation business. I mean, you were the representative on the Tucson Pima County representative for the Arizona Department of Transportation, the role that General Ted Maxwell now serves on the board.
And before that, I was on the original Citizens Advisory Committee that formed the RTA back in 2005 and 6. So, mm-hmm. of course, I have a vested interest in it because I believe so strongly in regionality and the benefits of that. And the city of Tucson has been the best and the biggest benefactor of all the projects the RTA has produced.
Hmm. What went wrong this time then?
Apparently, the whole issue of moving automobiles has been supplanted by growing trees, reducing the size of roads, reducing the ability for automobiles to move from point A to point B, and basically an influence changing for more sustainable energy efficient type of mode that, quite frankly, nobody wants. Mm-hmm. And it's if they can't move traffic from point A to point B, which the city of Tucson is trying to impede, then the whole RTA falls apart because it doesn't address the problems that we have with moving traffic across town.
All right, Steve, Christie, and again, I do want to circle back to that FireWise program. Someone listening might be very interested about their particular subdivision, how they can get involved. Should call your office?
Yes.
Is that the way to do it?
We would be very glad to direct the individual for the FireWise program at district4@pima.gov.
Okay, you can probably go ahead.
You
could probably just Google to
sure.
just Pima County District 4.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Or FireWise. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's information there as well.
Okay.
And did I tell you that I love being supervisor?
Yeah, I think I've heard that before. First elected in 2016 and up for your third term. So there you go.
There we go.
Thanks. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll take a break right here. World-renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy is next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Boy, do you want to cool off? How about a three-hour drive over to Silver City up to the mountains? Mid-80s. It's 85 at midday over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So that is a really, really nice way to cool off and escape the heat here in southern Arizona. And it has been some kind of week, hasn't it, with all these excessive heat warnings. So my goodness, we're going up to probably close to 110 again. And we like to say Silver City is going to be at least 10 degrees cooler. Well, try a little bit more on a day like this, maybe at least 15 degrees cooler. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. Check that out before you make your trip over to Silver City. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to his observatory, observatory in Vail, Arizona, and he being Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show, a contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, and one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, just shy of an even two dozen comets notched up on his belt. Dr. David Levy with us. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. It's good to hear your voice. You sound good today.
Well, thank you. I'm trying. Every day has been a challenge over the past 11 months, as you can very well understand.
I know it has been. It's going to continue to be.
It will be.
Because, you know, I've lost Wendy now almost 2 years now, and I'm still trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. I know, and this is a very difficult time as we approach, thinking back a year ago with Anne in her final weeks before passing on August 17th, and so it's like, oh my goodness, remembering this and remembering that. But anyway, we do push forward one day at a time. How was your annual Anirondack's astronomy retreat this year, David?
Well, you want to put that into the future because it's this year. It'll be the end of July and the first week in August.
Oh, I jumped the gun.
So it hasn't happened yet, and I'm looking forward to it very, very much.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was July, but no. Now that I think about it, it is kind of midsummer.
Yeah, more like a Midsummer Night's Dream.
And are you involved at all with the Astronomical League? They do their annual convention, don't they?
I am most certainly involved. In fact, a week from yesterday, I will be heading out to Kansas City for the annual convention. And I will be lecturing to the group at Linda Hall Library the day after I get there. So Linda Hall Library is one of the finest, is probably the finest science library in the world on this planet. And I'm really looking forward to visiting there again.
And what will your remarks be centered on?
Probably mostly about the library and about how wonderful it is. The library has all of my original observing logs, daily journals, and my first telescope, which are sort of in the same room as some of Galileo's things.
Wow.
And Redicus's things.
You're in very good company there, David Levy.
Well, maybe I'll have a drink with them.
Yeah. Well, if the dust ever settles and we are having kind of one of those days, I guess this is the kind of day that if you've never been to Tucson and you fly in on a day like this and you say, hey, I thought there were mountains surrounding Tucson.
Yeah.
Where are they? But anyway, the dust will settle and we'll be getting in between some monsoon activity, some probably beautiful summer night observing, correct?
Yes, we have been, and I've been watching for the possible outburst of T. Coronae Borealis. Still hasn't happened yet, but I'm watching.
Give us a little bit more about that.
Okay, the star went up. It went into outburst in 1866 and again in 1946, and it's supposed to go up sometime between tonight and 2026. So it's on its way, but we'll see. We're watching it.
And again, the name of it?
T. Coronae Borealis.
Hmm. Okay. What about something that we can always count on in July? The deltas.
The Delta Aquarid meteors will be at the end of July, and I'll probably be watching them from the retreat this summer. really looking forward to that meteor shower. And the shower kind of leads me into my quote of the month. So I'm going to need a little extra time because I have three quotes this month.
All right, we are ready. Go ahead, Dr. David Levy.
Okay, the first one is from Thomas Jefferson, probably the most intelligent president we ever had. And he said, I would more easily believe that two Yankee professors would lie than that stars would fall from heaven. Of course, he's right about that. Stars don't fall. Rocks do. Little meteors. And Perry Como said, catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. We can't do that either, but it's fun to listen to the song. But finally, we have John Donne. Go and catch a falling star. Get with child the mandrake root. Tell me where all past years are, or who cleft the devil's foot. Teach me to hear mermaid singing, or to keep off envy's singing, and find what wind serves to advance an honest mind.
Hmm.
And that was John Donne.
Okay, one of your favorites, right?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
All right, David, any final thoughts before we let you go?
We may want to schedule the middle of August for next time, or if we do it in the beginning of August, I will be at the retreat. But we could do it then. Is that your choice? Either way.
I think I would like to do it at the retreat this time.
Okay, I would love to do that. I will have my cell phone. We'll
Good.
Have to make sure it's connected, okay?
Okay. David Levy, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care, Bill, and...
You too.
Take it easy, and we'll speak with you in August.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. David Levy, on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up, waiting in the wings on the live line, Attorney Don Luce. And boy, we've got a lot to cover. The language that folks will be... Well, there's a lot of disagreement about the way these propositions should be framed in the voter pamphlet. We'll begin with that with Don Luce right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the green thing is Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line up to Phoenix and our monthly conversation with Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Just enjoying the sunny day in Phoenix, Arizona.
And on track to be the hottest summer ever in the Valley of the Sun. But so what else is new? Under Arizona law, Don Luce, the Legislative Council, that's a committee of lawmakers, is required to prepare what are supposed to be neutral explanations of these measures that will be appearing on the ballot. That's for the pamphlet that will go out to homes. And I'm talking about, we're talking about a lot of homes. More than 4 million registered voters will take a look at this pamphlet. But boy, trying to get this language neutral, big, big task.
Well, you make a good point about the battle is being fought over the language, because words are important. And in this case, the words are to describe essentially an unborn thing, right? I said thing intentionally because the proponents of the measure, which would essentially expand abortion rights in Arizona, are opposed to the use of, quote, unborn human being in the description of the proposal. Mm-hmm. They claim that that term, unborn human being, is tinged with partisan coloring, to use a quote from one of the attorneys who was before the panel trying to get that changed. The other word that the proponents would prefer to have used is fetus. So the battle is between how you describe essentially that thing. Do you describe it as an unborn human being, or do you describe it as a fetus? Because the Legislative Council is comprised of mostly Republican lawmakers, the proponents of the Abortion Access Act Amendment, which is what this proposal is technically called, were unsuccessful in getting them to change the description. And so now the ballot proposal language, which is going to go out, as you pointed out, to more than 4 million registered voters, is going to have an explanation of the existing law saying abortions are illegal if the gestational age of the, quote, unborn human being is more than 15 weeks. So that's the battle that was fought. The Legislative Council has made a determination that they are not going to use the word fetus, but rather unborn human being, and that is what's going to be in the pamphlet unless a court orders otherwise, that gets mailed out to Arizona's more than 4 million registered voters.
Let me ask you, that would be the language in the pamphlet. Would that be the language, Don Luce, on the ballot itself?
Not sure about that, Bill. There is information on the ballot. I'm not sure if the legislative council language makes it to the ballot itself. So, sorry, don't know the
That's
answer.
That's okay. Okay. So, the final say here, would that be, does this go before a judge or?
Okay. So, yeah, look, I think we've seen in the years that we've been looking at these ballot proposals, dozens and dozens of cases that go before judges because either the proponents or the opponents of the proposal believe that something is wrong with it, right? It doesn't have the necessary number of signatures to be on the ballot, or it contains more than one subject matter which violates the Arizona Constitution, or the introductory language or the language explaining what the amendment is misleading. So the judges in Maricopa County, which is where these things are filed, are very busy this time of year because, as you know, we're now less than 4 months from the general election, and at that time, if everything stays on the ballot that is currently headed toward the ballot, there will be 14 ballot measures that the voters of Arizona will consider and vote upon.
Yeah, another one that is very contentious is this Republican-backed border measure. This one has gone before a judge, correct?
It has. So, by way of background, this is Prop 314. So, it's a legislative referral, right? Because there are two ways that ballot measures get put on the ballot. One is through the legislative referral process, and what that is either a chamber, the House or the Senate, can adopt essentially a resolution that a certain subject be put on the ballot, and if the other chamber agrees, then the legislature refers that to the ballot for the voters to decide upon. This border measure proposal is one such measure that was legislatively referred. And by way of background, the Republican legislature would not and has not been able to get the governor to sign this type of a proposal because there's a fundamental political difference in terms of what this is all about. So not to say that the Republican legislature did an end round, but they did vote to put it on the ballot. It's Prop 314. But problem, it's being challenged. It's being challenged in court, and the challengers are saying this proposal violates the Arizona Constitution because it contains more than one subject. And the Arizona Constitution clearly states that, you know, you have one law, you know, per proposal. You can't have multiple subjects. You can't make it illegal to speed and at the same time make it illegal to buy ice cream on Sunday morning. Different subjects. You have to have different proposals. And they're saying that this border security measure, as it's been called, and I'll talk about how it's now being sort of rebranded in just a second, but the border security measure also contains provisions dealing with the sale of fentanyl that causes death of another. Contains provisions that make it a felony for anyone who is not in the country legally to submit false documents when applying for public benefits, and does a myriad other things that don't at their root necessarily involve crossing the border. Now, there may be some connection, and the proponents of the proposal are saying, look, I think this is what they're saying. We recognize that there is not maybe a really super close connection between fentanyl and crossing the border illegally, but they're close enough. And because they're close enough, the court should not strike this down as being unconstitutional. A hearing was held in Phoenix last week. maybe earlier this week, recently, let's say, and no determination has yet been made. So the judge who is hearing the case, Judge Scott Minder, heard arguments from both the proponents and the opponents of the ballot measure, and the judge will make a decision. And then I predict that whatever the judge's decision is, the party who loses will immediately appeal it and challenge it on appeal. But the problem here is we're fairly close to the election, and the county recorders of the various counties throughout the state of Arizona have to get those pamphlets printed, the ballots printed, and you know have to finalize the preparations for the elections. We have early voting in Arizona, and so basically, I believe we're looking at the end of August as sort of a cutoff. If this, you know, if this decision isn't made before the end of August, then it's probably going to be too late in some cases because of the early voting. So
we have seen other measures recently that have been tossed out because the subject matter embraced more than one single subject.
Exactly. And this border security proposition, which, as I alluded to earlier, is now being rebranded a little bit. The proponents are now referring to it as a smuggling law, right, to prevent smuggling, whether you're smuggling people or you're smuggling drugs. It's now it's sort of like a smuggling law. But this thing has a whole bunch of stuff in it. Whether the judge agrees that everything relates to a single subject or not remains to be seen. But I think the people who are challenging this measure probably have a good argument that it contains more than one subject and shouldn't be on the ballot.
And there's been some other measures that are getting scrutiny, judicial retention, Protecting Tipped Workers Act. So this is almost every one of these items that goes before voters, propositions, seems to have is controversial.
It's not a perfect system. but it's our system. It's Arizona's system. And if I could take just a quick second. Yep, I understand. We have probably 14 ballot measures that are headed for the November 5th election, right? 14.
Mm-hmm.
11 of those have been certified, and those are the legislatively referred measures. Three of them have, to my understanding, not yet been certified. Those are the citizens' initiatives. And the Abortion Access Act Amendment is a citizen initiative, and the minimum wage increase is a citizen initiative.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is not a perfect system. Some of these ballot measures probably will not make it to November 5th.
All right. Don Luce of Luce Law Offices in Tucson and Phoenix, always a pleasure. And next month, we'll have a good idea about what, hopefully we'll have a good idea about what ballot initiatives will be in on the ballot. So thank you, Don.
You're welcome, Bill. Nice talking to you.
All right. We're going to leave it right there for the Buckmaster Show. Our Thursday edition, back with you tomorrow. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, joins us with Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Have a great afternoon.